You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are. So there's been sweat, there's been snot and there have been tears in the house this morning, all over a lost bike helmet. If anyone knows where it is, can they please email the help desk because I'm about to lose my shit. Wendy, do you know where it is?
Dear listeners, Annie has moved house and is living in a building site, and I suspect that this is where the lost bike helmet, either that or it's been eaten by one of the pets.
I'm slightly worried. They came to collect the skip from the crap house this morning, and I'm worried it made its way into the skip, in which case we're in big trouble.
Well, there's no sweat or snot or tears here because it is the first day in as long as I can remember that there is no other soul in my house. Can you
Where
hear the
they
silence?
Gone? School and?
School and Tim's gone to the office.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Best thing for marriage is when they go back to work.
Yeah, it's too much, So this week we've got a great guest duo to help us chew the cud. I just hope they're wearing their one-piece lycras. It's only the bloody scummy mummies. Welcome Helen and Ellie.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, for those of you who can't see, Helen is wearing the best earrings I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, I do like a dangly.
They're very dangly.
Meant to elongate your face. I always wear. I'm not prepared to lose any weight, so to make me look less fat, I just like a very.
It distracts
from the double chin. Yeah.
Top tips. There we go. She's only been live for 2 minutes.
I like to wear earrings that look like a pair of boobs. I find that distracts men's attention as well. If you just have a boob hanging off each ear, then they don't.
What about some elongated boobs? Then we could be ticking both boxes.
Well, then everybody, they'd be like real life.
Yes. Everybody loves a long tip, don't they, Helen?
Oh, absolutely. I say they're better to flap than to bounce.
What is it you always say when you're on all fours?
Oh, that's right. My boobs are so long. When I go on all fours, I'm actually on all sixes. Yeah.
Strong start, ladies. Strong start.
All right. And that's now, the podcast done.
Yes. Yes. There we go. It was lovely chatting to you both. Have a lovely weekend.
The best description I've ever heard was that it was like two tennis balls in two socks flapping in the breeze.
Yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely. Now,
before we carry on, Helen, your daughter's been poorly. We want to know if she's okay.
She is alive and well. I'd say too alive because she's got a bit lippy now. She's nearly 13 and she's back to a very much healthy state. So yes, she's too well. Yeah, no, we spent nearly a whole week in hospital. Poor thing, couldn't eat. She couldn't hold anything down and they were all very worried. And then she just got better suddenly. And then we went home. I was like, she was fine, as we all are as parents. And I was in a bloody mess for about 2 weeks afterwards going, but yeah, all okay. Thank you for
asking.
Okay,
we're glad to hear that. We're glad to hear that.
So our first regular question to you first, please, Ellie, is any sweat, snot or tears in your house this morning?
Oh, all day. More bodily fluids than even that, to be honest. It's been an absolute disaster. This morning, actually, there wasn't too many tears because we renegotiated the screen time treaty. I don't know if you have this in your house. We renegotiated that last night. And it's my goodness, it's like trying to divide up the former Soviet Union. It's just an absolute nightmare trying to work it all out. So, and he made some purchase. So my eldest son is in quite a good mood this morning. And always when there's been like a row and then a resolution, he's incredibly well behaved for about 24 hours. So
it's almost worth having a row then, Ellie.
Almost. It's almost like they know how to get you. So yeah, I remember thinking this morning, he's just got himself up and brushed his teeth and washed his face and I haven't shouted. Oh, and then I remembered, yeah, it's because he's on best behaviour. So that was all right. Yeah, not too many tears. Bit of snot. I mean, there's always snot, isn't it? Is there a furnishing in your house that doesn't have snot on it somewhere?
No. I'm waiting for one of those CSI crime scene scanners to come
in. Gross.
The whole thing will just like glow in the dark.
Yes.
How old are your kids, Ellie?
They're 6 and 9. And
I think so
there was
still
definitely
snot.
I just remember, in fact, just this morning, my husband dressed the 6-year-old and I said, he's been wearing that jumper for 3 days now. And Pete was like, oh, it'll be fine. And I went, no, it won't, because look at the sleeve. There's an enormous snot streak up the sleeve. Can you change him, please? And sweat. Well, we're all perimenopausal, aren't we? It's just always sweat. Sweat all day. I sleep under a weighted blanket. I might as well sleep in a hot tub.
All right, over to you, Helen. Sweaty, snotty, teary, fluids of any other sort?
I will start with tears. So I won't say which child, but this week one of my children found out that the big man in red is not real.
No.
And, yeah.
Why, though? And, it was April.
Well, ladies, who...
In case any children are listening, she means Keir Starmer. Red, of course, being the colour of the Labour Party. Yes,
indeed.
I've found out the real man and his fruit orchard is a farce. One of my children were looking at the Amazon previous orders, like going through for some reason, and then saw...
Splung.
The December
That's a good
orders.
Lesson to all of us, actually. Clear up your Amazon account because you don't...
Gutted. Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
no.
So... It was pretty horrific. And then it was like, and is the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy? Yeah, so it was, so I will use that for both tears and snot because we were all a bit of a mess. And I was like, yeah, it sucks. I'm really sorry. And and so we had that. And then sweat. Again, Ellie and I've been getting into yoga. I've been doing a bit of yoga. Ooh. And I do Jessamyn Stanley's yoga, who's a very, very voluptuous woman from America. So I've been getting sweaty in my bedroom. And as a single lady, that's a rare event. Yes, I've been doing yoga with Jessamyn in the morning. So that's been very nice. Yes.
I think after lockdown.
You're a millennial.
Yes, I know. I've got all this exercise gear, but I've also bought, and Ellie knows me very well, I've bought 3 kettlebells during lockdown. And are they
still in the box,
ladies? Yes, they're still in the box.
Have you used that spiralizer yet?
No, I have not.
How long have you had that spiralizer?
Since June. No courgette and no kettlebell. But they're in mint condition.
But at least they're there ready to go, should the mood take you. Okay, so we always like to talk about lockdowns and how different parents found them. How were they for you? Now, I know a rather large curveball landed your side of the net, Helen, in lockdown. Are we allowed to discuss?
Yeah, of course. I've been blabbing about it for... Just don't stop me blabbing about it. Yeah, 2 weeks before lockdown happened, I got some surprise information from my husband, which made us divorced.
I'm glad you say it with a chuckle.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly right. So, yeah, had no idea. And then he had to move out very much immediately. So I became a single parent and a single lady and a big crying mess in a pair of tracksuit pants for about 6 months. So that was my lockdown. But I am blessed that it happened before lockdown because I know other people got divorced during lockdown.
Yeah,
because
I know some of those too. And I think that was really tough.
And then you'd have been locked down with him. And imagine finding out and then being stuck with him. That would have been even worse.
I don't want to know that reality. Thank you very much. So, yes, I've had, it hasn't been easy, but I've had a lovely time. And now I'm a very, very much a happy family of 3. So,
what were your tactics other than buying kettlebells
you
don't use?
You couldn't go anywhere and see anyone and snot on anyone's
Drink
shoulder,
wine on
could
people.
You?
Well, Ellie had a lot to do with me not going insane because she is lovely she'd bring me lasagnas. Some days she bought me some discount donuts. That was a good day, wasn't it, Ellie?
Yeah, absolutely. just bring things, basically. I like to express my love with material goods.
Yeah, so that was very nice. But yeah, I got a really good therapist. And one of the things we talk about, when you're going through shit is that you have to sit and you're sad. And I couldn't get anywhere away from it. So I couldn't go out and drink with mates or anything. I just had to sit and go, oh, my God, my life has just changed completely. And I did quite a bit of drinking, quite a bit of smoking, quite a bit of crying. And I think it was like breakup boot camp because I was just very much getting to grips with the reality of the situation. And I think, but also I live on a cul-de-sac and I've got lots of lovely neighbours. And so even though we're 2 metres apart, I still had community around. So, yeah, so it was great. And now I could not be happier. I am like the happiest single woman in
Well, I know. I follow you on Instagram and I look forward to seeing your little smiling face peeping out of a square every day, seeing what you're up to, because you always look so happy.
Yeah, I am most of the time. I am. I'm probably quite annoying now. I just want to like run up and down the street going, I'm 42 and I'm single. Yay. But there's hard bits and, all that sort of stuff. But I never knew I would be this happy. And I was really scared about becoming a single parent. I found that I thought, oh, my God, I could never do it. And now I can. And it's better.
That's very inspiring. We had Rosie Green on, who went through a similar issue, but hers was kind of stretched out over a longer period on the pod. And it's proved to be one of our most successful episodes because she didn't just survive, she thrived as well.
When is this podcast going out, by the way?
Just looking. I've got so many tabs open.
I've got it here. Yeah, the 11th, funnily enough.
I can say it, Ellie, do you reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
It's fine. No? Yeah. Anyway, so sorry, Russ, the editor. Yes, and I've written a book about it called Get Divorced, Be Happy.
God, you wrote that bloody quick.
Yeah, you didn't hang about.
I wrote a book about divorce while getting divorced, and I did it in 3 months. And it's out in July. Anyway, that's enough.
Well, I'm going to come back to you then on that because I want to find out about Ellie's lockdown, and then I want your top 3 tips on getting divorced and being happy, please. So you can go and have a think. Ellie,
all right,
lockdown.
I'll write it down in a book.
What lockdown? Don't believe in it. It's all government conspiracy. I went to Tenerife, Centre Parks, had a massive party, and I renewed my vows at an enormous ceremony. No, not really. Lockdown pretty. I've no exciting story, to be honest. Just, you know, just I stayed in. That's the end.
Italiano, sì. Mon amici.
Grazie, bella. Sì. I started learning Italian like a tosser.
And how's it going?
Bene, grazie.
You're one of those people who actually did what we all said we'd do. I just got a slightly larger alcohol habit and got fat.
I did that as well.
I'm
an overachiever. I got fat, became an alcoholic, and learned Italian. That's no better. Song.
Molto grosso.
Well, Helen and I have talked about this before, but basically, we're into this thing. Brené Brown, the researcher and writer,
love
a bit of Brené. She has this theory about over-functioners and is it under-functioning and over-functioners? Yes, you know it well. So, and Helen and I think are both sides of that coin. So, and obviously, Helen had extenuating circumstances. So, when the lockdown happened, she kind of pulled the duvet up. And I kind of threw it off, took off all my clothes and started running around the garden, metaphorically speaking. And that was my way of coping, to do stupid things like learning Italian. And I also started like a video games Instagram, and I started doing Twitch and all this sort of crackers stuff to kind of just like, you know, use all this energy I had somewhere else. And that's been really good. But I think I'm reaching a balance now. It's been a year and I'm sort of calming down now and going, all right, we don't have to necessarily do all of the things all of the time. We can just relax and chill out a bit and get back to a sort of equilibrium. So that's been nice.
So is that how it works in the dynamic between you two then? Is it you who says, come on, let's go and do a tour. Come on, let's write a book. And Helen goes, oh God, all right, come on then.
No, often it's the opposite because Helen can be quite more optimistic. So like it was her idea. It was my idea to do the podcast, but it was her idea to do the show. And I was a bit like, oh, it sounds hard and I don't know if it will work. We're both lazy in different ways. My thing will often be,
that's
I don't
the secret
really do that.
To a happy relationship, you know. I think. Lazy in different genres.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But I think exactly that's why we've achieved what we have, because we can both be a bit like, oh, I don't want to do that, or, you know, I'm being lazy today, but then the other one will make it work. So it just sort of goes like that and some sort of ends up there.
But I think that's what's laudable about the two of you, is that you managed to juggle the kind of not very ha-ha moments of life and talk about them with honesty while still being bloody hilarious. So in one of your early pod episodes, Ellie, you talked about your traumatic birth. Are you happy kind of zigzagging that line between the two? Is that where you think your strength lies?
Yeah, I think so, because, yeah, as you say, so I had my youngest son, Joe, who's 6 now and absolutely fine. He was born 9 weeks early, totally unexpectedly. Nobody had never had a premature baby before, didn't expect it. It was a big shock, and he was very, very poorly, and it nearly went very badly wrong, is a euphemistic way to say it. So that was bad. But yes, we did a podcast about it because we wanted to tell people what was going on. But also, one of our sayings is, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. Isn't that right, Helen?
Yeah, that's what my mum taught me. And I'm one of 5 children. And I reckon she would be tiptoeing between laughing and crying through the whole day having 5 kids. I think it's really important to say the hard things. And I think, you know, I've come from Australia, Ellie's British, and like, our culture's not really good at sitting in sad and hard conversations. And I think it is really good to have that balance between, you know, being really vulnerable, you know, again, Brené Brown kind of saying, but and open, because then as soon as a story is shared, then it sort of lifts everyone else, that they feel like they can share their story, or they might even just feel normal from you saying those sort of things. And the more conversations we have, that, because that's the hardest thing. People always say, I don't know what to say. And then they don't say anything, and then people are lonely. So I think that's really good. And also we're just absolute tarts for attention. And, you know, we've had some really, really serious topics. And I think it is really good that Ellie and I now have known each other for 8 years, and we know we're allowed to be sad. We've both cried during the podcast, but we also know when to kind of switch it off, and the joke's always on us. Like, we're not taking the, I mean, sometimes we take the piss out of the guests, but also, you know, I get confused very easily, very naive, and I'm really happy to say that and ask stupid questions as well.
I think it's something we've noticed recording this pod as well. A lot of the guests that we've had on are much more open about the struggles of mainly motherhood than perhaps even when mine and Annie's eldest child, they're both 9. And actually, even 9 years ago, I don't think people were as honest, especially about the postpartum 6 weeks or so.
I think that is partly to do with the emergence of technology platforms as well, though, because my eldest son is 9, and Helen and I met when he was, I think, a year and a half or something like that. So, yeah, and we met, and one of the reasons we did start the podcast was because there wasn't, like, I'm quite techie and I listen to podcasts, and I couldn't find a parenting podcast that wasn't serious or earnest, wasn't American, wasn't like which car seat to buy and what's your favourite wet wipe, you know. And that's kind of, there was definitely a gap in the market, but we didn't start it from that sort of cynical perspective. It was more like, there's nothing like us, for us out there, let's just make something and see what happens. And luckily for us, that was very prescient of me, well done me. So that worked out. But also there was no Instagram, and I think that has been a big game changer as well. So now we have these two mediums that we didn't have really 10 years ago that people have used as an outlet for honesty. And it is different to Facebook because it's not so connected with your friends and your family and your personal network. And it is different to YouTube because that's a lot of effort and you're not interacting in the same way.
But I think one of the reasons that the world has responded so enthusiastically to you two is that you've almost become the antidote to Instagram. Like, Instagram has the potential to be quite serious and navel-gazy and, oh, I'm only going to show you the lovely bits of my house and my legs. Do you know what I mean? Whereas you guys have managed to take it and run with it and make it about something else. How does it feel to have almost have saved the mental health of the nation's parents? Are you aware of how beloved you are?
Oh, that's a really lovely thing to say. We are very overwhelmed with the messages and the emails that we get from our followers. And also when we do live shows, like we might, you know, do a theatre with 400, 500 women and we'll do a meet and greet afterwards, and women come up to us and hug us and cry and say thank you. And that's lovely. Wonderful for my ego, Ellie, isn't it? I mean, I once had a lady who wanted to slap me on the bottom, but we do have some boundaries.
It's the cat suits, that's why. Basically, everyone sees a lot of your bottom.
Yeah, and I think she drank quite a lot of, you know, Prosecco, and she wanted a little bit of my juice. Sorry, Ellie, you were going to say.
It's just lovely. It's really nice for your ego, especially what always happens to me is they always come up to me and they grab me and they whisper in my ear and they say, oh, you're my favourite. And that happens maybe 30 or 40 times in a night. I'm sure,
of course,
you know.
Yeah.
It happens to me a lot when I'm out with Wendy as well.
It's lovely. And again, you know, Ellie and I didn't set out to do that. Like, it wasn't, everything we've done has just sort of evolved quite naturally and quite organically. You know, even though we were podcast pioneers, we invented podcasting, basically.
Oh, obviously.
But I also like the community in which we have become part of, in terms of all the other mum bloggers and things like that. And they've also become friends because, like, half the time, we're like, we don't know what the hell we're doing or what we're posting. I'm like, oh, my God. And so I think that kind of naivety, in a way, has been has been helpful, because I'm like, I'm not strategic about what I post or anything. I just kind of go, you know, what the hell's happening today?
But you guys were front and centre of fish finger gait as well, weren't you? For those of our listeners who don't know what fish finger gait is, could one of you please share the joyous story?
So basically, a few years ago, the Daily Mail ran an article slagging off me and Helen and also a lot of other Insta mums, some of our friends, like, was it Steph Don't Buy Her Flowers?
Yeah.
Clebby Telford.
And Mumsy Mum.
Starmy Sunday. So, yes, we were in this article by this woman, I think it was, saying, oh, look at these Insta mums and who do they think they are? And it's terrible. And look at Helen and Ellie, who joke about giving their children frozen fish fingers. The key word for me being joke. We do joke about it because it's a joke. Don't know if you know how jokes work. They're not always completely based in facts. That's what a joke is, everyone, just to catch you up there. So, yes, and gin. I didn't even like gin anyway. There was this big backlash. Yeah. We thought the article was hilarious. There was a big backlash. And there was... all these women across the country that day started posting saying, look, I give my kids fish fingers and I'm not ashamed of it. And the hashtag solidarity with the TEA became a thing. Anyway, long story short, we ended up with a lucrative advertising deal with Birdseye. So, and then we had a book launch party or an anniversary party, and the actual Captain Birdseye flew over from Italy. He's an Italian actor. He flew over to attend the party and embraced me in a way I enjoyed.
Well, that might lead me on to the next question, because I was going to say, who have been your favourite guests on your podcast and who would be the dream guest? Is it Captain Birdseye?
Well, he doesn't speak very good English.
Okay,
I mean, but with your new
maybe food, Italian, Ellie, is this why you've picked up Italian? Oh, I think we've got a big breaking news story. Ellie's running off with Captain Birdseye, aren't you?
We're going to Ellie Rome. Birdseye.
When in Rome, that's it. The finger in fish finger. Anyway, I always like to, when I'm on someone else's podcast, at least one point, make them literally put their head in their hands. And I've achieved that with you, Wendy, there. So thank you. My work here is done. That'll be £500, please.
What Helen, is fish finger in Italian, Ellie?
They do have them. We have talked about them. It would be dita is finger. Dita di pesca. Ah. Fish of the... Finger of the fish.
It sounds very exotic in Italian.
I don't think I want to eat one.
That's probably not the real name, because often when there's a name in English, I'll ask her what it is in Italian, my teacher, Jamila, and she'll say, oh, you just say it in an Italian accent. For example, because my kids are into Marvel, we were talking about Marvel, Spider-Man is Spider-Man. Spider-Man. Or Thor is Thor.
Gorgeous.
And I was like, you're just making it up. You're making it up. Yeah, Thor. Oh, absolutely would. Thor and Captain Birdseye, one on each end. Yes, please.
Oh, that's a nice fish finger sandwich.
Get back
tartar
to the
tartar sauce.
Right.
Point that top. Pop that. Now,
who's been our favourite guest, Helen?
Oh, so many. I mean, like anything, you have different guests for different reasons.
Like children.
Yes, exactly right. Look, I would say Steph Don't Buy Her Flowers.
Oh, we love
guests.
Steph. Steph's the best.
She is excellent. But, you know, for meatiness, I adore Philippa Perry. We had a great episode with her. And, you know, we've got regulars called Miserable Steve Hill and Nurse Jessie, and they're every Christmas we have them like family. So, you know, because it's been going for 8 years, we've had over 200 guests. So it is really hard to kind of...
But who's the dream?
Haven't you had? Who do you want? Brené?
Oprah.
She's on our list as
actually,
well.
Oh, actually, I must say, though, I've interviewed Oprah.
What? Were you working in a call centre? How did you manage that?
Yeah, British Gas. No. She was promoting a film that she had produced in the UK about 2 years ago, and I randomly got an email saying, you've got 8 minutes, only eight, and you have to come to... No, they said, we'll let you know the location on the day. It's top secret. Da, 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 da. Like, they treated her like she was like the president or something.
She is like she's better than the president.
She's much
she can
better
behave
than
how she
president.
Likes.
And I went and I got taken to, this is how serious it was. They'd hidden the numbers of the buttons in the lift. So someone in the lift was manning the lift and pressed the button. I didn't know what floor I was getting taken to.
Wow.
And I got kind of ushered down these corridors and then into this very dark room, and there sat under a light was the Oprah. And I must say, this is really embarrassing, but the overwhelming thought I had was, oh my God, her boobs are massive. And also,
they are wonderful.
So while we
wonderful.
Were talking, all I was thinking was, don't look at her boobs, don't look at her boobs, don't look at her boobs.
Brilliant.
Embarrassing.
Listen, my husband has that tattooed on his left hand. You're not alone. That's
yeah,
amazing.
She's very, very tiny, like up to my shoulder, and she has a very impressive bust. She was a really brilliant person to interview because she kind of knew what I wanted to get out of it. And so she made sure she answered the questions, giving me as many little nuggets as she could. Like she felt like she was giving me a gift. She was great.
Wow.
She's an absolute angel, isn't she?
Yeah. And then my 8 minutes were up and that was the end of it.
And your life has changed forever.
Always.
Oh. Yeah. Who else? Bold. RuPaul, I would adore. I mean, there's so many.
I'd like Nigella. I would love Nigella. I really would. I think she's amazing. I'll have a,
she's got lovely bosoms choice. As well.
No, I couldn't have Nigella. I'd have a fight with her.
Why?
Would you? Do you not like her, Wen?
No.
No, Jella.
Do you not like her?
Her fake voluptuousness.
I will not. Damn it! You invite me on this podcast and I turn up in good faith in my own house and you speak ill of Nigella Lawson. So I shan't hear a word against her. Otherwise, I'll she'll never come on the podcast.
Bye. No,
Wendy,
you're never mean about anyone. What's wrong with you today?
Whoa. I don't know. I'm just not really a fan.
Okay, we'll pick this up later, okay?
She's backtracking now. She's backtracking. Yeah.
We'll fight you for the first interview UK podcast with Meghan and Harry. How's that?
Oh, I couldn't give a toss, honestly. Girl, you're welcome.
At least
you're
not a royalist.
No,
I adore the royals as a good Australian.
I do as well, Helen. I do as well.
You're outnumbered, Ellie. We love a royal.
Okay, I've got to go because I've realised you're simpletons. Absolute simpletons. So, sorry.
Quick, ask him another question before she goes.
Okay, so the other thing I want to know is, do you prefer Scummy Mummy stand-up or Scummy Mummy pod?
I love being on stage with Ellie. And, I mean, there is nothing more delicious than standing in the wings and hearing hundreds of women excited to see you. That is, that's orgasmic.
But wait, is it always women who come? Or do you, I would have assumed you had a rather large male following as well, no?
We always have a few blokes turn up. And we do have male listeners. We had an email just the other day from a nice man saying, I like your podcast and all that. So, we definitely have some blokes. I don't know. It is mostly women, but I think that's all right. Do you know what I mean? It's like we've been told before that our stuff is niche, which I genuinely find offensive because I don't think Match of the Day is niche, or it's not called niche.
But
it's mostly, not all, but mostly men who enjoy Match of the Day or Top Gear or any of that dreadful shit. So,
I think, you know, even though we started off doing the podcast and the podcast has been going every fortnight for 8 years, getting out on stage is pretty amazing. And I love that people have made time to come out and see us and brought their mates. And when you do a joke that lands well and you see women looking at each other going, yeah, that's me, that feels pretty exciting. And, yeah, and I get to wear a booby cat suit on stage for money. I mean, I win. That's a
right
great
there.
Life.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. What about you, Ellie? Ellie has edited every single podcast. And has been, you know, the tech wizard through the whole thing. And I just turn up and say stupid stuff and she has to edit out half of the things. But,
funny enough, I was thinking just this morning, so at the moment I won't go into it because it's boring and it'll sound weird, but I'm playing a lot of video games at the moment on the internet, on Twitch, and I've been playing this one that's about Vikings for 93 hours now. And I was thinking, God, that's a long time. What else have I done in my life for 93 hours? Because I was thinking I could have given birth 7 times in that time. And I was thinking, well, we've done over 200 episodes of the podcast, so I've spent over 600 hours editing that. That's a life's work.
That is an awful amount of time listening to your mate's voice.
Dreadful.
I definitely have heard her voice longer than I've heard my husband's in my life, but I don't mind that. She's very interesting and funny, whereas he's... Anyway, it's a story of another time. So I don't like the editing, but I do like the podcast because it's just fun. I like meeting new people and I like meeting interesting people and I like doing bants with funny people. And I don't have to leave my house because we record them here and I'm incredibly lazy. So that's a real bonus for me. That's a real plus.
I was just going to say the most delicious thing was that Dr. Rand came to Ellie's house and I think we drank about 3 bottles of champagne and just spoke filth for about 2 hours. And then he just disappeared off into the night. And that was one of the best nights of my life.
We didn't take the tactic of plying him with alcohol.
You have to get him drunk, then he'll tell you and show you anything.
Okay, Dr. Rand, you're invited back. I'm going to go shopping.
Now, ladies, how do you want to be remembered by your kids?
And I was actually gonna preface that with, what do they think you are now? Do they have an understanding of what mummy does for a living and what she's all about?
Yeah, I get a lot of eye rolling now from my nearly teenage daughter, because I won't let her on social media just yet, but I do show her posts because I think that's important we discuss it. And she's like, oh, my God, put your clothes on. Oh, that's disgusting. Why would anyone want to see you in your bikini? I'm like, it's feminism. It's body positivity. She's like, ew, gross.
I think I'm with her.
Yeah, I know. Ellie's the same. She's like, what do you call me again? Ellie, Reader's Wives.
Reader's Wives, yeah.
Oh, put your clothes on, Helen, you big slag. No, but I think because I try and explain to them about, you know, what we do in terms of, you know, making mums feel better and creating things. And also I said, but, you know, me dicking about my cats, it pays for your shoes, sweetheart. You know, Ellie and I have both worked very, very hard and we're doing very well and, you know, writing books and all those sort of things. So, yeah, I think they are really proud of us as well because they know how hard we work. And also we're doing a job that we love that makes us happy and it makes other people happy. So I think that's pretty good. You know, I mean, we're not fucking doctors. I hope to find a doctor.
The apostrophe is in there, really, doesn't it? Too.
Yeah, I must check my Tinder. Hang on.
Oh. Come on then. How do you want to be remembered by your kids, Ellie?
Yeah, no, my kids are mine are quite young. They're 9 and 6, so they don't really have they don't have Instagram or anything like that. They're not very interested. They're not very bothered. That may change. I hope it doesn't. But at the moment, they're just like, yeah, fine. You've got a weird job. Don't know, whatever. But so how would I like to be remembered? Maybe I would hope as someone who did things. Do you know what I mean? Who had ideas and saw them through and built something. One of the things I'm most proud of really is that Helen and I, without setting out to do it, we've ended up building an actual business. Scummy Mummies is a business now. And we run our own business and we're our own boss. And that was not really a goal I had growing up or in my 20s. I never kind of thought, I had a really nice job with a really nice company and I was really happy. And I never kind of thought, oh, I hate all this. I want to set up my own thing and have a hustle and all of that. It just sort of happened organically. And I'm very proud of that we've achieved that almost accidentally.
All the best things happen by accident.
Apart from some pregnancies.
Oh. Yeah.
Not mine, hasten to add, planned, just in case my children are listening in 2025.
Yeah.
Okay, so then from one side of the coin to the other, we also always like to know what's for tea tonight in each of your households and who's cooking?
I will be completely honest to say our nanny Inga is cooking tonight. And I will also be honest to say, because Inga, people always think she's from Stockholm and she must be 7 foot tall and blonde. She's from down the road, mate. She went to the same school as me. She talks like me. So her mum just liked the name Inga. So Inga is cooking. My husband went to the shops and bought some chipolatas. So tonight my nanny will be preparing my husband's sausage.
Cha-ching.
And Helen,
I don't know what I think I'm getting Deliveroo. I've got a friend I'm meeting up with, a lovely friend who's an artist, and we're going to catch up. We were going to go to my brother's restaurant, but that was cancelled, so I think we might just get Deliveroo and drink on the hill.
Right, it's been cancelled during the recording.
No. My date tonight with you know my friend Ellie,
the artist. I like the artist one.
Yeah, I like the artist one too.
Wait.
Back up the truck.
I'm getting a sense here that Ellie helps vet some of your dating friends. Partners, Helen, possibly, maybe?
No, she's just very tolerant.
I mean, I hope you won't mind me saying this, Helen. Perhaps I can cut it out if you do. But, you know, Helen was with her previous first husband, let's call him, first husband, since you were like 20, weren't you? So you're having a renaissance.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting what I'm doing at the moment.
Rediscovering your type.
Yes. Many of us had an explorative time at university or in our 20s. And Helen is you know, she's much like a potholer, exploring new crevices.
I think that's a lovely visual to put into.
Is that all right, Helen? Do you mind that?
Yeah, that is. Yeah. That is. And the thing is, I've decided to have no...
boundaries?
Yes!
I can see now in my head, it's filters. Kind of wearing a head torch, going out on dates with a head torch.
Known lovingly in my friendship circle as a dick head torch.
Yeah, so I've had dates with people who are 50. I'm 42. I've had dates with people who are 50, 29, 31, 37. And I'm just sort of interested in sort of who I can. This is going to get really wrong.
She has a bingo card with all the numbers, all the ages between 18 and 79, and she's just crossing them off one by one.
Do you have to keep notes, though? Are you dating them all at the same time? Do you have to keep notes so you don't mess up whose name is who and who's likes what done where? And
I've 2 nights a week now that, you know, we're allowed to go out and about. So, yeah, I don't have any crossovers or anything like that. Like, it's one guy go at a night.
Single mums out there, this is the way to move forward.
Isn't it?
Sit in your sad and then go hell for leather.
That's what we say. That's what we're going to say. Else. I was going to say, sit in your sad and then sit on a face. That's what we say.
And back to the podcast.
I think that needs to be the title of Helen's next book.
Sit in my sad or sit on my face. Yeah.
There we go. It's a bestseller.
I'll get back to Penguin on that one, yeah.
Anna, you can ask our very last question because you always ask it better than me.
Oh, God, do I?
And because you invented it. So.
Right, so it's up to you whether you do this together or separately. But
I've heard that before.
Yeah. Finish yourself, yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to sound like Helen on a free night now. We like to invite our guests to pretend that they are putting Wendy and I to bed. And we ask them to share with us and sing to us their family lullaby. So when the kids can't sleep, what is it that you sing to them? And please, would you sing it to us?
I sing to my son and I pat his head. You are my sunshine. Do you want me to sing it?
Yes please.
Okay. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are grey. That'll do.
That was lovely.
Very beautiful.
Follow that, Ellie.
Well, I sing actually. I don't know if you'd have heard it, but so my heritage is Scottish and Irish, so it's an old Gaelic folk song, and it's special to our family. So you probably won't have heard of it. You might not, but it's a lovely song. I'd like to share with you now, and it goes. I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and never. Them lead the way, show them all the beauty they possess inside, give them a sense of pride, let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. The end.
Beautiful.
Welcome. You're welcome. Asleep. Yeah, so as I say, it's a classic Gaelic. I think they performed a version of it in Riverdance, but it's not very well known.
It's a thing of beauty.
Well, I hope that Scummy Mummy's the album is the next, going to be the next string.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
In all honesty.
With Steps. Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys. That was amazing.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
Enjoy your date tonight, Helen.
Oh, yeah. Helen, can you email us and let us know how you get off?
I will. He's lovely. He's a regular.
You should do Strictly scorecards out of 10 for each one.
Yeah, that could be a new thing on your Insta feed.
Yeah.
Oh, I still want to have sex, you know, and if I start scoring men publicly, I'll get less, you know, cock. So I just, maybe later. Maybe.
But that is an idea. We've got to write a new show soon, and that was an idea. It's in the ideas folder, Helen. Helen Thorne's Dick Advisor, where we just rate them out of five circles, foreskins. Don't know, haven't decided the mechanics yet. Yeah. But it's going to be a big hit, guys. It's going to be huge.
Okay, on that note, we can't wait.
We're better to leave a podcast.
We'll be there.
What a pleasure, ladies. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Love you guys.